Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrage. Quatt is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrage here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
Yes, and thank you, Dennis. You are listening to the Quarters and Barra podcast. I am Glenn Quatermain, senior sports writer for the West Australian. With me is Adrian Barrage, speaking at 0.75 second speed. He is a former West Coast Eagle and a Perth Football Club champion and Channel 7 guru. This is a very exciting week because it is Western Derby week. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch, download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. How are you, Barra?
Actually, I was not too bad because we had that the 1987 reunion at the game on Sunday, and the players, all the past players, went into the rooms with the new guys, and you know, it's a lot of secret men's business. But I think I'll probably be able to give you a bit of an insight as to what happened and who was there. But mate, I'm just been flattened by a text I just got.
Yep,
and.
Do you want to pause for a moment?
No, it's all right. One of the guys that should have been there, he's in a bit of strife, and his name's Peter Davidson.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember Davo.
I do.
I wouldn't mind talking about...
Let's do it.
Davo a little bit. He was part of the 87 squad. Just a fantastic guy from Bunbury, now living in Collie. Played for Claremont, West Coast, Brisbane... Best and fairest at Claremont 1987. Went to East Fremantle and played in a flag in 1992. Played 66 games for Claremont, 7 for East Fremantle. Inaugural Eagle. A lot of people will remember Davo. Played on the wing.
I remember him,
yeah. They had Panizza on one wing and him on the other. And when the Eagles started, you can only take 5 players out of every club. That was this, I think it was 5 or 6, you know, they capped it. And Claremont had so many stars that they had to choose between Davidson and Panizza. And Panizza didn't go into the AFL, and clearly he was AFL standard.
Dollar
Panizza, who's like the king of Albany now. He runs basic junior footy in Albany, created this great concept down there. So, yeah, the news will come out pretty soon, but I just wanted to pay my respects to a bloke that was, and a lot of us are close, to, you know, not so much me, but Michael Brennan and guys like that sort of, we all came through together, Alex Oshenko. And so it was a bit of a, it sort of flattened us a bit on Sunday anyway, mm-hmm. Particularly some of the people around Claremont and the West Coast that knew Peter Davidson. But it was a good day. It was a really great day. And I think it was a really great day for the West Coast Eagles in the fact that they reached out and embraced their old teams, and particularly 87. It was Don Pike's idea.
Yep.
It's obviously a new philosophy. Let's bring the boys back around the club. And
it rubbed off.
Yeah, I just heard Elliot Yeo talking about it. He said it was so special to have those blokes in the room, because what happened was there's a coaching theatreette there. I don't know. Have you been into the rooms at the Eagle at Optus? You know, they've got that theatreette.
Yes, I have.
Yeah,
yes.
So they all sit there. You know, it's pretty skinny, but
goes
deep. Yeah.
In a NRL, before an NRL Origin game, we had a bit of touch rugby, and we sat in there and had a bit of
got
inspirational
a pep talk,
words. Yeah. Not that it did me any good.
You can imagine how in the big, you know, whiteboard at the front and the big screen and that, and you can imagine how people get fired up in there. So the players are in there, Simo's there, and he opens the door. We're all outside, and he opens the door, he welcomes us in, shakes everyone's hand as they came through, and we all sort of file in, and the players give us a clap. Like the current players mm-hmm. clap the players from 1987. So in walks, you know, Robert Wiley, John Worsfold, Don Holmes, Dean Turner, Daniel Laidley, Andrew Lockyer, Chris Lewis. Oh, so good to see Chris Lewis. Steve Malaxis, Michael Brennan, Ross Glendinning, Alex Oshenko flew over here. Wally Matera kicked 4 in that first game. John Gastev. Mark Zanotti. Zanotti was on his toes, I tell you.
I bet you he was.
he was ready to run out with the boys. Woosha was getting the eye of the tiger too.
Oh yeah.
And so what? And so I probably can't say too much, but what Simo did was very clever. He said, "Listen." To his team, he said, listen, boys, today, whatever you commit to, you're committing to in front of the pioneers here, the guys that built the club, the guys that started this winning culture. In 1987, they were 33 points down at three-quarter time, and they stormed home. They weren't going to lose their first ever game to some Victorian team, right? So that's what happened. And so if you commit to these things on the whiteboard here, you're committing in front of these blokes, and you need to deliver.
Well, they listened because they were, I was a bit worried, four goals down after 24 minutes, and Richmond was in control of the clearances and in control of stoppage, and the game flipped.
Yeah, initially I was a bit worried too. I was thinking, oh my God, that didn't work, but it did. And I just heard Yoey on the radio talk about how special it was to him and how they felt part of something bigger than themselves, and that you can forget about the history of the club and how what terrible times our sort of generation went through in terms of what we had to put up with and what we had to do against, you know, the travel and not being able to train on any of the grounds. We were like the bastard child. That's an old redundant term, I know. Yeah. But, you know, like when we were born, the West Coast Eagles, the footy commission, the WAFL, they didn't want us. We weren't allowed to train on their grounds. We've been through all this stuff. You know what I'm talking about. And so we had to fight and tooth and nail. They nearly went bankrupt. And then 5 years after we were invented, we won a premiership.
Mm. And all sorts of venues, Mount Lawley, TAFE.
All over the shop.
Down at Guildford on the boggy oval so you could acclimatise to the Melbourne conditions, all that sort of
stuff. Putting up with those people leaving sprinklers on all night at Moorabbin, you know, all that sort of stuff.
So let's talk about the game before we move on to Frio and a few other issues, Barra. But as I said, you know, four goals down early. And let's put it into context. Richmond in a very similar situation to what West Coast have been in recent years, missing, you know, seven or eight of their first starting players. I mean, you're talking Taranto, who was injured on the eve of the game. Tom Lynch wasn't out there. Noah Bolter wasn't out there. You know, but I don't want to take any gloss off the Eagles' win, but let's put it into context. They were very gettable, Richmond, at the weekend. Yeah. However, having, you know, staring down that sort of a deficit early and, you know, and staring down the possibility of a 5-0 start to the season, which would have been their worst start in their history, you know, they did come back emphatically. And I thought it was on the back of, you know, Elliot Yeo, 19 contested, 15 clearances.
Phenomenal.
Tim Kelly, Harley Reid, we've waxed lyrical about, and, you know, well done to him on the Rising Star nomination this week. But they got to work, and late in the game I was thinking, you know, there were a couple of chains of possession where you saw Jimby involved and Reid involved and, you know, Elliot
Yeo. And the crowd was massive. It was 48,000.
And they got to sing the song. Now, the song itself's been controversial in recent times, but they were singing that song, Barra, and they were singing it on the bus on the way home, and train, and they were singing it at the Canfield across the road.
I think Harley was quite clever. He said, I'm glad they're playing Eagle Rock, because they played Eagle Rock after the game as well. And he said, because the other song I'm not sure about.
Very good.
Mate, that kid, I'll tell you what, I saw him in the toilet, can you believe, before the game, while we're waiting to sort of, he's a, quite a big unit, and mate, there's nothing fazes him. He's ready to go. He reminds me, even more than Judd, he reminds me. Judd was always super confident, but Judd, he wasn't sure if he was going to be a star.
Yeah.
This kid is sure that he's going to be a star.
Yeah.
And barring injury, nothing's getting in his way. And he was ready for Dustin Martin. He was ready. There was a palm off. The roar from the crowd was just phenomenal.
And also, you know, clearance, set a clearance, couple of bounces. He takes on the man on the mark. You know, he's not afraid to get into their face. All of that sort of stuff. And the swagger is there, but it's not
the
a
swagger. He loves the he wants to swagger. He embraces the swagger.
It's a dignified swagger. And we love it. And, you know,
he's going to be massive.
He is, yeah.
Do you see these stats that the third quarter, I mean, they had 61 inside 50s, the Eagles, which is phenomenal. And so Jake Waterman was able to get some supply.
Has been their most productive forward, I reckon, this year.
Six goals. Yeah.
And I'm glad he got some reward for his work this year. So
that's a career best. He's going to find out he's alive in the Derby, obviously, because if Alex Pearce got, imagine if Alex Pearce comes to him. It'll be a compliment and, shit.
Well, I suggest he is coming to him.
Because Jack will probably get Luke Ryan.
Yeah.
They may not even need the other fellow. Oh, they might leave Draper on one of them. But I think the Eagles are going to have to do, we'll talk about that in a moment. I think the Eagles are going to have to do something special to change that up. But Richmond only managed 40 inside 50s, so they got pumped. They got pumped, including a shock 17-1 count in the third quarter.
Yeah, it was, dude.
17-1 inside 50s.
And that's after the Eagles have kicked 8 in the second. So looking all round,
I'm not laughing at them. I'm just saying this. I'm just so happy that West Coast have turned the corner.
Now,
and can I just say the master and the apprentice? So Yo and the two inside bulls, Yo and Reed, the master. It's actually the monster.
And don't let
the
Jimmy
monster
out of
and
it,
the apprentice.
He's also going to be a very good player for them. And so is Elijah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about inside mids.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking Elliot Yo, Harley Reed, the monster and the apprentice, mate. He's back to his best, Yo.
The thing about Jinbi is he played a lot as an inside mid. This year he's playing a little bit more outside, but there's that option for them as well. So they've got a little bit of depth there now, and there's still, look, Barrett, it's a long season ahead, and there's going to be some dips as well.
But I'll be a reality check this week against Fremantle because they're a good side. They should never have lost.
Just on Frio. Yeah, that's right, Barrett. But, I mean, I guess the week before against Carlton and last weekend against Port Adelaide, you know, I think they've still got to learn how to win, don't they? At the moment, they're learning how to lose. And those tight games.
Just got to score more.
Yeah.
Just got to score more.
Yeah.
They'll get plenty inside 50s.
So they've got it right at the other end. They're the most miserly defensively in the competition, but they're also in the top eight. They're the side that's the worst offensively.
And when Banfield runs into an open goal and misses twice.
Missed a couple late.
So they seem to free. And you know what? The opposite, Port let him go, basically. They realised he was the weak. No, all due respect, that he wasn't the strongest forwards, right?
Yeah.
So what they do is they just run off him. They just leave him and he will get the ball. But he's got to convert to do that. And that's always the problem. He didn't
gives him something though, Banfield, doesn't he?
But he didn't convert.
I know. And late, you've got to take your opportunities.
And then Sarong had a chance late and so did Sharp had a chance late. And I've got to say, like I wasn't of this opinion, but in the box I was in for the Eagles game, I didn't go with the 1987 guys. They had a couple of boxes and they were having a pretty good time. I didn't go there, one, because I was a bit flat about what was happening with Davo, but also the Perth Footy Club was there and we were in the Footy Commission box. And so I was in that box and Rita Saffiotti was in there and she was saying that, in her opinion, that they do get the raw end of the pineapple, the spiky end of the pineapple all the time. And when I watched that Dockers last quarter, I think, you know what? They don't seem to get those 50-50
well,
free
Butters,
kicks.
Let's talk about the Butters one.
The Butters one, Banfield, no free kick.
Yeah.
They did clear it, but they didn't score. But
still got to find a way to lock down games, Frio. I know there's a bit of assistance there from the umpires in both weeks, but you still
home
got to
crowd,
find.
I think the home ground thing for Port worked for them late.
Yeah, but that's how.
But the Dockers deserve to win.
Top four teams
Port.
Win those games, though, Barry. You know what I'm saying? But look, with the Butters one, I'm still scratching my head how he avoided a suspension and Crouch. Did you? It's either, Barry, it's either one way or it's not. You know. He's hit him in the head. There is head contact there.
At least a free kick.
Two hands on the ground, one and no hands on the ground, all that sort of stuff, mate. I don't think it matters. I think it's if you make contact to the head, you're in a bit of trouble. So I think he's a very lucky boy to not be suspended this week. Very lucky. And I think players are confused and so are fans.
Yep, no doubt. And the Dockers, they won the midfield battle. Just that is quite extraordinary. When you think Sarong, Brayshaw and Young, they took out Connor Rosie, Butters and Jason Horne-Francis. I know.
Still had a bit of a contribution, those players.
Yeah, they did, but they actually won the midfield. Yeah. I can give you the stats if you want. But they were plus nine in the clearances, plus nine in the clearances against a team that's supposed to have the best midfield. And you had Sarong had 16 contested possessions to go with his 29 touches. Phenomenal. They got killed in the marks, minus 27 in the marks, minus 20 in the tackles. Their tackling wasn't great. And minus 10 inside 50s.
What were the uncontested possessions? Did you have those?
Yeah, I don't think I've got the uncontested. Yeah. But
well, I think...
Look, no marks inside 52.
Yeah.
So that's going to change this week. Luke Jackson pushes down there. So this is where
Sean Darcy comes in. I don't think that is the missing piece of the jigsaw here. I think to have Luke Jackson down there, it's another real concern for the opposition defence.
Well, he'll get the best defender. He'll get McGovern / Barras. And then McGovern, like I actually think, I'm pretty sure the Eagles had a plan if Waterman didn't fire that they'd push one of those blokes forward on Sunday. But this week, they've got to contend with Jackson and Amos. So I don't know if they've got the luxury of being able to say, unless someone comes into the back line.
And you've forgotten the third player. Kicked three at the weekend. Cyclone Tracy.
Yeah, he had a good game too.
He did. And a nice little perfect.
But the best defender's going to go to Luke Jackson.
Yes.
Second best defender's going to go to Amos. And then whatever else. So
you think if enough supply in there, and I still think it's that mid-forward connection, that's the area they really need to work on.
Sonny Walters.
Defensively, mate, Alex Pearce is in all Australia.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Luke Ryan,
I'll give you his stats. 24 disposals, 96% efficiency,
yep.
Game high 11 marks and 645 metres gained. He's on fire as well.
Mm.
And Pearce, you know, I feel for Pearce. And I feel for the Dockers. They went over there. And if I said to you, Quarters, okay, they're going to play Carlton and Port in Adelaide, how do you reckon they'd go? You'd say, oh, they'll probably drop both of those.
Mm-hmm.
They probably could have won both. They should have won the Carlton game, got ripped off. And in this game, they should have won.
Probably should have won it too. But I suppose the way Port were travelling and to restrict them to 66 points, I think, is a tick. And so they're not far off. To me, the result at the weekend said to me they're playing finals.
Absolutely.
But it said to me also right now they're not top four.
They're not top four because they've just got to convert.
I think
those
the Jackson Darcy combination will improve them. I think people who think no, you can't play the two of them in the one side, that's nonsense. This is why, because you need that bigger body, and he's going to be too banged up to be sort of handling that workload all season anyway.
I really feel for Alex Pearce a bit because he did play a great game. Got 10 votes. He got all the votes, 5 votes
and
each.
And not winning,
but also at the end, Charlie gets that goal, which was crucial. That must have just been
Charlie Dixon,
him.
Yeah.
And then Jason Horne-Francis, I don't know how Walker got, he pushed Walker under the ball and he kicked the winner. So...
Now,
yeah, they're very stiff, Dockers.
A couple of other things to discuss. Let's start with Nathan Murphy. Collingwood defender has announced his retirement this morning, Barra. And I'll just read out a quote from Nathan, which I think is very poignant. I love my football, but my priority is on my future and ensuring I live a full and healthy life. So it's a very sad football retirement, but I think it's a very happy decision in terms of the health of the rest of his life. 50-odd games, he's a premiership player, has made the... sat in front of the AFL or was looked at by the AFL concussion panel and given the approval to keep on playing. But I think 10 concussions, we know the science around it now, and I think it's a really brave decision, and I reckon it's the right decision. And this is where we're headed now, Barra. We're looking at the future, and we're looking at, you know, 20, 30 years' time.
Well, but it has been happening. I mean...
Well, Angus Brayshaw has
Yeah, Angus Brayshaw, recently. But the two guys that I know, and you would probably know, Brad Shepherd, he missed the flag. So Brad Shepherd went out without the flag. Daniel Venables got the flag, but he retired in probably less than 50 games. I don't even know if he played 50 games.
Don't worry, I've spoken to Daniel, and he said, look, I would happily trade that premiership for full health.
Yeah,
he's really they're really struggling. So, you know, our thoughts are with them and with any player out there struggling. And our thoughts are with Nathan Murphy too. And I think we need to salute Nathan Murphy here, as we did Angus Brayshaw, because in a way they're pioneers, Barra. They're making these decisions. He's only 24, Nathan Murphy.
Mm.
And I think it's paves the way for other footballers to do so if the evidence is there.
Yeah.
And I think we are so much more aware of the evidence now.
Yeah, and... This is obviously not why Murphy's doing it, but you know, if you keep playing on after against the advice, then you're going to take away all your chance for compensation or anything like that. Because you basically they go, well, hang on, you knew you were buggered and you kept playing. So, yeah, there's a lot of angles to it. Hey, I got some stats here. I meant to toss this in when we were talking about the Eagles. Harley Reid
statted up today, aren't you?
Yeah, have you seen these Harley Reid stats, though?
Go on.
Now I have to have a bit of a laugh. Can I just have a bit of a giggle?
Of course you can.
I'll just do a little giggle. What about the footy experts? You weren't one of them, but there's a lot of nufties around here and in Victoria who were saying that Harley Reid, you know, split the pick, don't take Harley Reid. He's not that good. Do you reckon is there any of those ones
no,
now?
No, I was saying split the pick.
Yeah. Oh, were you really?
I was.
How are you feeling now? Here we go. This will be good.
No.
Is this recording? Make sure this does not get deleted. Just explain why... Maybe that you wouldn't have taken Harley Reid.
Because you could get two sort of top 12 picks instead of one. And I think given where their list is at still, I think to fast track it, it would be better to split. But he's a good, very, very good player. So,
mate, they are building a club around one bloke.
Yeah,
he is a bloke you can build a club around. You can't.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me give you the stats, my friend.
Yeah, please do.
You rate Sheasel, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
You rate Ashcroft.
Yes.
And you rate Dacos. So you.
Yeah.
I would take Harley Reid over all of those blokes. And you look at the stats. Harley Reid is the number one rated player for his age. He's number one in clearances, number one contested possessions, number one contested possession rate, number one ground ball gets, number one score involvements, number one inside 50s. His rating is 11.58. It's higher. It's higher than Ashcroft, Sheasel and Dacos in their first year. Just let that sink in.
No. It's,
Dacos started like an absolute German band and so did Sheasel.
They were both playing off half-back too and this kid's been thrown into the centre.
Exactly. Man. So you're coming around it. There's no one in Australia around, who would say you shouldn't have taken Harley Reid.
Yeah, it's fair call.
Thanks, mate.
So but to suggest I was one of those.
I heard that Xavier Ellis apologised as well. So it's a bloody miracle day.
I'm not apologising. You want me to apologise for what? For having an opinion? No, thanks.
For making a mistake on Harley Reid.
Oh, he's a great player. Very good.
And
very
all those
good
other player. Peanuts out there. Hey, the other good thing about the Eagles, talking to the boys as well, is the depth now in terms of a bit of pressure for selection. So obviously Dom Sheed comes back, plays well. So the Eagles beat East Fremantle. The Eagles beat the Premiers.
Yes.
So they hadn't won for what, 2 years? 660 days, right?
Yes.
The Eagles waffle team.
Yeah.
And on the so we get to the game. And the boys go, you won't believe this. Our waffle team's just won. And Liam Ryan's played off halfback and just was unbelievable.
So I think they find a way for Flying to get in there this week.
Do they play him off halfback?
Play him off half forward.
A lot of they need someone to kick goals.
They need him at half forward. Play him at half forward.
You reckon put him in?
Yes.
But what about Dom Sheed, who played two games?
Right now, Dom Sheed, Gaff, those sorts of players, I think you just wait. Give him some more time to accumulate and get those tanks built. But I think, Lyon's different.
Liam Ryan probably needs.
Yeah, but he'd be handy on that half forward, wouldn't he?
And then I reckon Clay Hall looked pretty good too. And I don't know where Zane True's at, but he actually played pretty well as well.
So Jamison will be the interesting one because you'd think. So he was out with a hamstring last week. I'm not sure. For me, it looked like a structural omission.
Are you bringing Jamison in?
Well, Richmond was a very small forward line.
Just a minute. You're bringing in Jamison.
Well, you might need to
play on Amos.
Well, you might need to bring an extra tall in so you can get players free. So you can get McGovern free.
So you can release someone up the forward line.
Get McGovern free. Get
him, let him send him forward or just let him free?
No, get him free. So Jamison plays a really important role as that extra tall back.
You put Jamison on Amos. He's been playing on Wiedering.
Yeah.
And some of the greats. Aaliyah even.
I'm not saying put him on Amos, but I'm saying he may.
You're not going to put him on Jackson, are you? Oh, you're going to put him on Jackson.
Well, maybe Tracy. I'm not sure what they do, but he's
no
just a
chance,
good option.
Tracy. Zero chance, Tracy. Mm-hmm. Sent off back. Mm-hmm. No chance.
Well, let's see what they do. I think structurally he could be important for them.
Well, that'd be, mate, I would. You're probably right. They do need another tall. Mm. I'm not sure that he's going to be the actual answer. Just one more on Waterman.
Yes.
So I love Waterman because Muddy's my mate.
Yeah.
And, you know, son of a gun. So Muddy Waterman, Chris Waterman, dual premiership player at West Coast. Jake's his son. Not sure about his hairdo, but far out. Watershed moment. Career best 6 goals, matched his dad, 13 marks, 8 contested. 8 contested marks. Unbelievable.
Jeez, he was getting a few kicks upfield too. And Barra, you mentioned the 6, could have been 8. And a couple of crafty shepherds as well to create other goals.
That word.
So well done.
11 score involvements and only trumped by Yoey's 13. So 11 score involvements. But here's the stat that I wanted to give you, a true reflection on what his game's based on. How far do you reckon he ran?
Oh, I'm going to say, for a forward, this would be unusual. I'm going to say 12K.
14.2 kilometres.
Yes, fair bit of... Four,
I would have done that in 4 matches.
Yeah. And you're a midfielder.
I know, mate, 14. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I mean, it was the most for West Coast, and I think that Ralph Smith and Campbell had more for Richmond, but 14.2 kilometres as a forward. It's phenomenal.
Not bad.
Mate, that's not fun, is it? You know what footy is now? Daniel Kerr said it to me once. He said, you know what footy is now? You run your guts out and then the game ends.
Is that what Daniel Kerr said?
Not much fun.
Yeah, no, not much fun. Hawthorn, my boys, probably the latter suggests North Melbourne's the worst team out there at the moment, but I'm probably suggesting that Hawthorn's the worst team out there at the moment. But we're going to find out this week when they play each other, and one of them will be the, well, provided it's not a draw, there'll be only one who hasn't won a game. So we'll find out pretty quickly. But just some news yesterday on Hawthorn. Jason Dunstall will be elevated to legend status, or already has been. It'll be officially paraded in front of the AFL community later in the year. The 32nd player to do so, Barra, you would have played against Dunstall or near him at some stage. But in terms,
I played
of,
in the era of the great full forwards. Yeah, I didn't have to play him. I mean, it was Michael Brennan and McIntosh and all that, but that and Woosher. So, you know, Ablett.
He was a tough player to hold Dunstall because Lockett, he just kicked goals.
And
he was accurate.
He was a very good kick for goal.
He
must have done a lot of work on it, eh?
Oh, he did.
I spoke to Amos yesterday. You know Amos, Jai Amos. He got his goal-kicking technique sorted from age 12. From age 12, someone...
Just his junior coach?
Yeah, well, some coach said to him, mate, you've got to get your goal-kicking technique down. So he relentlessly practiced it from age 12. I said, what? And he said, yeah, I studied Josh Kennedy. And I just copied what he was doing.
There's no stutter.
Obviously no stutter. And Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah.
And he was a massive Eagles fan.
Two pretty good role models.
He was really cheering on Sheed in 2018.
Yeah, he was.
But that's interesting, isn't it? So, and that's what Dunster was like. He used to have 100 kicks after training.
Well, he was talking about it last night, actually. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, there was a trainer at Hawthorn, George Stone.
Another
George Stone. A very well-known figure at Hawthorn. And he would just take a big bag of footies out after training. So you're fatigued. And he would just kick hundreds of shots at goal Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights and rarely missed, you know. And I think the key to Dunstall didn't stray too far from goal. And with the midfield they had, I mean, you're talking the likes of Platten, Pritchard, Jarman at one point. You know, he could generally get his shots within that arc. They weren't ever too deep.
Yeah.
He didn't miss too many.
No, he was a very, very good kick. You know, they don't let them have 100 kicks. Like now... I don't know, if Waterman said, I want to have 100 kicks after training, the fizzers is going, you've done this much already, had this many kicks, you can't.
And how's the goal kicking going 30. At the moment?
Yeah, I know. So it's strange, isn't it? So they've leaned towards getting injured against kicking goals.
What's the most important thing to do out in a footy field? It's scoreboard pressure.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Yeah, so... But that is the world, my friend.
And I still love the story. That was trotted out yesterday and will be trotted out later in the year. But that great story when he was arrested in Miami on an end-of-season trip with a couple of other Hawthorn. And Alan Jeans, who was a senior sergeant himself, the coach, had to trot along to Miami Police, to the lockup, and to bail these four players out. And he said, well, you can shoot him, you can shoot him, and you can shoot him, but... Don't touch the fat one in the middle. Which of course
who were the other blokes? One was Dermot, wasn't
it? Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean, you would have thought he'd keep Dermot as well.
Yeah.
Hey, the other news, mate, that I meant to throw in is I think Benny's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Good.
This year.
Great.
Yeah, Ben Cousins. Off the back of what you're saying, Dunstall goes in as a legend. How many legends do you reckon there are?
He's the 32nd.
I know. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
It's been
a lot of years, I know, but 32.
So Ben gets his chance at the Hall of Fame. And I think there's been as you are acutely aware, Barrick, you're close to Ben, but there's been a very big body of work done in Ben's rehabilitation. Oh, and, you know,
massive.
He's going in a really good direction at the moment.
And it's helpful that Richard Goyder, the chairman of the AFL, lives in Perth.
Yep.
Because he sees Barra and Ben on a Thursday night.
Nice play.
Channel 7. He sees us in the boxes at the stadium. He gets to interact with him. So I think that's all been helpful. 270 games, Benny. Brownlow medal 2005, obviously. Premiership 2006. How many All-Australians?
Oh,
what do you reckon?
Oh, jeez.
Six. Got the six.
Did he?
Just like Dean Cox. Dean
Cox. I was going to say four or five. That's impressive, six.
Coxie's famous line when you have a crack at him, because he's not exactly the most ripped bloke, is he, ever? Was he, Coxie?
No.
Dean Cox?
No.
And you'd say...
He's a bit like Dunstall when he turned up at West Coast, when Dunstall turned up at Hawthorn. Two of them were the last in a 4K time trial.
I think I wrote him off. I said, these blokes won't make it. Glass, Hunter and Cox.
Yeah, good call, Barra. What didn't you like about Glass?
What about when he couldn't pick the ball up in the goal square that time, Glassy, the great man. But he went on to be almost unbeatable as a defender.
An awkward kick.
Yeah, and he's because he was playing in the forward line. But Coxie, what did Coxie used to say? We'd tease him about not having a six pack, and he'd go, "You don't need a six pack when you've got six All Australians."
That's a good call. No, it's very, very good call.
And so Cuzzy six, he won the Rising Star one year.
Yep,
Cuzzy, like won the actual whole thing.
Brownlow,
obviously captain 5 years.
Brownlow with a black eye.
Yep, premiership, and four. John Worsfold medals, West Coast Eagles club champion. So on top of everything else and giving inspiration, people still just bail me up. And like Shane Crawford was crying on the show that he's on the Dancing with the Stars when he saw Ben, just how well he was. People still ringing us up, writing to us, handing me letters saying, you know, just tell Ben what he's doing is helping me get through and my family because my son is, you know, in the same situation, that scourge, and it's giving us hope that one day maybe he can be like Ben. You know, we've never met him, but he's just giving us hope. So, you know, it's, that sort of stuff, pretty important.
Barra, well done to Brett McCarthy, who got 7 correct in the quarters and Barra game tipping competition with a margin of 18. Brett is our overall winner with 35 correct. Miles ahead of me, I had another shocker. I had 4 for a total of 30, and you jagged, I think you picked the Eagles, didn't you? So you got
jag
5.
Hey, mate, hey, where's Josh? Josh?
Total of 31.
Mate, I meant to say... Would you? It's probably too late.
Make sure you speak it faster than 0.75 seconds.
No, I,
too,
I turned it up to 1.
Oh, did you?
Because I realised it was on point.
Can you tell our listeners the? So we did have some correspondence suggesting that can Barra speak a bit faster because it sounds like he's had a couple in the corner. So Barra had a listen, played it back, and said he's right. He's right. I do sound like but he was unfortunately listening to it at the wrong speed.
I noted. Josh told me you can change the speeds, and it somehow changed it to 0.75. So I did sound like a nufty, but 1.5 is too quick. So about 1, just go for the 1. I was saying to Josh, can't you get the audio where I was so certain about the Eagles winning? You know, I remember last week when I said they are winning. And there's no riders, there's no prevarication, there was no sort of...
No, you were very...
I was strong.
Yes, you were.
I was strong everywhere, strong and right. I knew that they were going to win.
Yeah.
And I think I need to get credit for that.
Well, you did. You got the extra tip.
So what have you on? I got 5, you got 4.
That's
so
right.
So it was a tough week. You're on 30, I'm on 31.
It's a pretty tough old week.
Brett McCarthy, is that the Brett McCarthy?
Well, the former editor of the West Australian and the Sunday Times. Well, let's hope so. Probably not, I'd suggest. Brett's more of a league man. But if it is you, Brett, how are you?
He's on 35.
Good fella, Brett. Thursday night game, a bit of an upset there at the MCG. Brisbane defeating Melbourne. Essendon, I guess you'd call it an upset. Well, it was a 29-point win, so at least the margin was an upset for me. GWS just sneaked in against St Kilda by a point. Horrific collision there for Sam Taylor, so we hope he's okay.
But apparently he's a lot... Him and Stephen Cornelio. So yeah. I arrived...
Cornelio, thankfully, it's not an ACL.
Yeah. So I arrived at the game for the Perth game, right? And I see Jacob, his brother, who plays for us. And he says, oh, you won't believe it, my brother's injured. But I think it's an MCL, not an ACL like they're saying. So thank God for that.
Yeah.
Jeez, his brother's going well, Jacob, for Perth too. Just a fantastic family. And, you know, he's in that team, the Italian team of the century and all that sort of stuff. So they copped a couple of injuries, but they're the team to beat, aren't they? They're the main premiership contenders, but it doesn't feel
I'll
like...
I tell you, he's flying as well as Geelong.
Yeah, you put the. Are you saying that Geelong are premiership contenders now?
They have to be.
Another bit of audio,
second
please,
on
Josh.
The ladder.
Go back
second
to
on
our
the
first podcast.
Hey,
this
I'm
year.
Not apologising.
He had him in. Would you have him 12th or 14th or something?
Oh, 10th, I think. Still yeah. Might finish 10th.
The quote was over the cliff.
Yeah.
And their days are gone. He's got, and just then he said premiership contenders. Five weeks later.
It's only round 6.
Oh, it's changing again.
He's putting
a question mark on it.
It's worth asking the question though, Barra. Is the 8 set? So GWS, Geelong, Port, Sydney, Melbourne, Carlton, Fremantle, West Coast. On the fringe, Essendon, only on percentage. And then we've got Brisbane and the Western Bulldogs. Western Bulldogs, they're an intriguing story. I can't work out the Western Bulldogs. They should be so much better. By the way, we should talk about it. What about the Riley Sanders dummy spin? Did you see that?
Yeah, Malthouse.
So a young bloke in his 5th game gets subbed out, throws the bottle, cracks the sads, and Mick Malthouse was none too pleased about it. What did he say? I'd give him a spray that hard his toes would curl up. I think you've got to cut the kid some slack, but that's not great behaviour, and I think it's
turned the heat up on Bevo, because now people are saying, has Bevo lost the plot? And so the two clubs under the pump at the moment are the Bulldogs.
And Hawthorn.
And Bevo's giving...
I think Hawthorn's under the pump.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, North as well then. But just on Bevo, were you a bit confused about some of his comments? It was sort of like, almost like saying, remember when our mate Scotty Waters said...
I think he's trying to protect his players, and it just came across as a bit...
But if he's trying to talk to his players, he's confusing them, because it sounds like they were in a rebuild phase. Mm. They haven't got that great a team. It reminds me of when Scotty Waters said the Saints were dreaming and they need to rebuild, and Revolt and Hayes and all their stars went, what are you talking about? We're superstars. You know, like they just didn't get it. Scotty went way too early. The way you got to handle that, and I don't know, I reckon Bevo's under a lot of pressure now. And some of his selections, he left out Caleb Daniel, didn't he?
He did.
And
Jackson McRae's been out of the side, and... what else did he do?
It wasn't a sub Bailey. What's his face? Which bizarre. He's doing
Bailey
some,
Dale.
I reckon he's doing some bizarre stuff. So I reckon he's got to watch out.
Now, what did you make of the Tom Liberatore stuff? So he said it was an ankle injury. Clearly, it wasn't an ankle injury. Clearly, there was some head contact there. He falls over. Darcy Parrish was concerned enough to give him a helping hand, and well done for that. Darcy, that's great sportsmanship, by the way. And then they put him into concussion protocols, despite the fact they reckon there's no concussion. I don't mind that, by the way.
Why did they say it was an ankle?
I don't mind it.
At some stage they said it was an ankle,
yeah,
too, didn't they?
That was Tom after the game when he was asked on TV. He said, no, it's an ankle injury. But so clearly all of us watching, everyone who was watching could see that there was an issue there.
Yeah, that was scary.
So that's where players need to be protected from themselves.
So was it the big tackle? Was it that big tackle?
Well, there were a couple of tackles. There were a couple of
them. But the big one from the package that just cleaned him up, that was a very good tackle.
Yep.
Maybe it was... Oh, you're right, he did have a couple
of... You don't have to be hitting the head either. It's the head wobble that can cause concussion, because it's all about acceleration. Mm. So you don't necessarily have to have head impact to suffer a concussion, that's for sure.
Here's what Beveridge said. He said, we're not a formidable team.
Well, that's right. Well, they're now, at the moment, they're sitting 11th on the ladder, so that would suggest they're not a formidable
but
team.
But if I'm a player and I'm reading that, I'm going, what? Hang on, we've got Bont and Pelly. You know, like you just go through their players and you think, hang on, we've got superstars on every line.
So just on that, so Bontempelli, Liberatore, English, top end, right?
Ugel Hagen.
We have Bailey Dale, Caleb Daniel, Ugel Hagen's top end, but still learning the caper. Liam Jones, very good intercept defender. Aaron Norton, McRae.
Now, Norton, what's the plan with Norton? Maybe he goes back, you reckon? They don't seem to even kick it to him anymore.
Yeah.
I think they've lost confidence in him.
The defence they could do with another tall defender who can take a mark.
Hey, what did Moldau say about Riley Sanders?
He just said it was poor behaviour and that I would give him a spray so bad that his toes would curl up.
So you know,
did you cop one where your toes curled up?
No, but I know a bloke who did.
Yeah.
And you know where that's come from, don't you? You know what the genesis...
Brad Hardy.
Yeah, so Brad Hardy. When he dragged
what is it
the
with Western Bulldogs players?
He dragged the Brownlow medalist in those days when he got dragged.
Well, he's allowed to. He's the coach.
Yeah, he's allowed to, yeah. But dragging a Brownlow medalist is pretty unusual. And in those days, he didn't come back on. So, and Brad took his jumper off,
and
waved it at the coach's box, and then went, I'll have two pies with sauce, and you can have one for yourself. Stick that up your ass.
Yeah.
So he's... And that was the end of Brad at the Bulldogs. Next thing we know, he's playing for the Brisbane
Bears.
Did
a fair job up at Brisbane too. Jagged a couple of goals.
With all my mates. So that story that got told.
Zanotti, Oshenko. Did you tell that last week?
Yeah. Oshenko and then.
You missed the boat.
And then Gastev went as well.
Yeah,
Remember Gaster?
He did, yeah.
Remember
how
it used to be John Gastevich?
Yes.
And he changed his name to Gastev. He took the itch off. I never understood that. I have to ask him, what would I be? Bar, Adrian Bar.
Yeah, nah.
Barra.
Nothing wrong with an itch.
Moldau called me Barra, and then I'm stuck with it. I don't actually like it.
Why?
Because it's a bit frivolous. But apparently the smaller your nickname, the more people like you, or that means they like you.
Is that right?
Yeah, so Quarters, it's a little bit long, but Barra.
Thanks, mate. Jeez, thanks.
Q.
Barra, now it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel Mailbag.
Thank you again to our long time sponsor, Thirsty Camel. This week's special, Dimple 12-year-old Scotch 700ml, only $49.99 a bottle. On Thursday, we'll be giving away a $50 gift voucher thanks to Thirsty Camel. Get your questions in to Quarters and Barra at wanews.com.au. This one from Sam Reed from Treby. Hey, guys, was the loss of Brad Shepherd more damaging to the team than people realise? And is Brady Hoff potentially the new Shepherd? Well, got a fair way to go to replicate the great career that Brad Shepherd had. And as you suggested earlier, Barra, it was a shame that he didn't get that premiership. Certainly deserved one. Did put his body on the line, Brad, and is paying the price now. But Brady Hoff's been very impressive. Gee, you look at him out in the field and he's taller than you think. But he can play small, so he does tend to get the job on those best medium-sized forwards.
Yeah, so let's go through it, because I was in the rooms on the weekend, they were talking about Brady Hoff and how I was thinking, is he going to go to Bolton? I mean, that's a big job, isn't it, you know? Whoever stops Bolton...
Geez, I tell you what, at the 20-minute mark of the first quarter, it looked ominous. He had two on the board, Bolton.
Yeah, no, and Maurice Rioli, thank God he played on. Oh, geez, that was a bit lucky too. But they said, yeah, well, he's played on Papley.
Yeah,
Swans, and also Toby Green. So Hoff is coming on, isn't he?
Yeah, tends to get that best medium-sized forward every week. And, I mean, you're going to get, like, that's worth, I think I said at the time, 10 games more, probably more experience playing on Toby Green.
They don't really have it. The Dockers don't really have a medium-sized forward. They don't play Sturt anymore, do they?
Well, so no, they don't
Walters,
really. I mean,
Switkowski.
Switkowski, Walters.
Banfield.
Banfield, probably.
They might play on Banfield.
Yeah.
He'll do well on Banfield.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's playing on Banfield. I think he might go to someone else. I
mean,
I'd be putting him on someone else. Maybe
Fabiner will get dropped. Luke Jackson will come in to the forward line, and Sean Darcy will go into the ruck, and that'll leave Amos, Tracy, and Jackson as their three big forwards.
Yep. High Quarters and Barra. Adelaide Oval continues to be a bogey ground for Fremantle. Norwood Oval, by contrast, is a venue where they win. Maybe they could request that Norwood Oval be their venue when they play in future gather rounds. Will it be in South Australia for eternity? Well, let's hope it's not in South Australia for eternity. As good as a job as they've done, Andrew from Leeming, I think other states deserve a crack at this. I don't think they're going to be... Well, yeah, let's ask for Norwood Oval if that's where... I think they're done from seven now at Adelaide Oval, Fremantle, so...
Yeah.
But the last two, they've run their opponents pretty close, haven't they? So I don't think it's a bogey ground as such, but...
I just go back to that. They could have won both those games. They should have won the Carlton game. That was robbed. And then they deserve to beat Port Adelaide. So they're in great form. So I don't know, you take the... Glass half full, don't you go, you know what?
You have to take the glass half full. They're in the eight. And I think right now, as I said, you'd expect them to play finals now, given where they're at.
They're seventh, aren't they? Yeah.
Pamela from Mandurah writes, I think Bailey Williams is underrated. Thoughts? And then she says, I don't need, although I want a Thirsty Camel gift voucher, I already have one. Well done, Pam. Bailey Williams, well, I think he is probably playing out of position, Barra. I think Matt Flynn, who's about 5-6 weeks away, will go into that ruck position and allow... I think what they really want him to play as a forward. I think he really wants to play as a forward. And, you know, he was beaten again at the weekend by Nankervis, but it's not from a lack of trying. He's just a little bit undersized. And the bloke's got a heart the size of the, you know...
He's a better. You're right. He's better as a forward ruck.
Yeah.
Nank had 37 hitouts and 6 tackles. So.
And those small forwards will get to work. He'd be a good hit up forward. You know, releases the pressure a bit on Darling, who I thought was okay at the weekend.
He tried,
the way, Darling.
Yeah.
And Jake Waterman as well. So he's certainly not underrated in my opinion. And I think people who sort of really know footy appreciate the value of him to the team. Don't you agree?
Yep, absolutely.
High Quarters and Barra, a correspondent recently highlighted Melbourne having 5 weeks at home with 4 games at the MCG. By contrast, WA Docker members do not watch their team play a home fixture for 29 days. They have to endure this huge gap between rounds 3 and 7. Later this year, a larger 30-day gap exists after a home fixture in round 11. Their next home fixture is round 15. It's outrageous. Has any other club ever had such a draw? Why do the AFL treat WA fans like mugs? That's from Michelle from Leeming. That's a fair question. Yeah, I think you look at the Melbourne teams and they do get the rub of the green.
That is a bad draw, there's no doubt. But I tell you what, The Dockers are seventh. They've got three wins already, and they've had to travel relentlessly. I actually think it's not a bad thing for them when they get away together, and they, and it happened to us at West Coast in the, I can't, I hate to keep talking about us, but anyway, it did happen. It actually worked for us. So I reckon it's going to work for Freo because it makes you more resilient. You become a more tight-knit unit. You're like on a mission from God, you know, sort of thing, to take on these teams over there. And if they'd picked up both those wins, that'd be, what, five wins? They'd be on top of the ladder. The Dockers, they deserve to win those games. They'd be on top of the ladder with Geelong and GWS undefeated. Amazing.
We've taken some great learnings from them. You have been listening to Quarters and Barra. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. If you want a bit of fun, play this podcast back at 0.75 speed. You'll hear Barra sounding like he's had a few too many. Thanks for listening. We look forward to talking to you again on Thursday when we will pull apart the Western Derby.